presence of the Lord is in this house tonight. I want to thank all of you for coming to service. There is so much happening tonight. There's a graduation in Fredericktown. There's a seminar in Columbus. There's certainly a lot of things happening, especially at this end of the school year time. But I thank you for being in the house of the Lord. I believe God is going to reward those who make an extra effort. And He has certainly done that already by His presence. I'm excited to see what He'll do through His Word. Before we look to the Word of God, though, Papa Sheets, it's so good to have you here. I want to pray for you, Papa. I want to pray for you and ask the Lord to give you strength tonight. I'm going to have some brothers just go over and lay your hands on Papa Sheets, and let's pray that the Lord would minister to him and strengthen him. So good to have you in church tonight, Brother Sheets. Bless our brother, Lord. Thank you, God, for giving him strength to come to church tonight. Minister to him, I pray. Lord, let your sweet spirit that is in this house, God, touch and bless him, I pray. Strengthen his legs and his knees. Oh, Lord, minister to him, God. Let him feel your precious presence once again, I pray. Oh, Lord, bless Brother Sheets tonight. Work a miracle of healing and restoration of strength to his body, Lord Jesus. Do only what you can do, God. What only you can do, we ask you to do it. We're going to pray and believe, and we're going to trust you to heal and strengthen Brother Sheets. Thank you, God, for bringing him here tonight. Reward him, I pray, God. Reward the effort he has made to be here. Your precious presence, God, touch him, strengthen him. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Brother Hagin blessed us on Wednesday night. I'm so thankful he's here. I mentioned on Wednesday just what a dear friend he has been since 1997 when I met him in freshman year Old Testament survey class, and we went all the way through senior year, Hebrews and Greek and all of that. God has always had his hand on Brother Hagin, and it's an honor to have him and his entire family in Mount Vernon this week. Would you please make him welcome one more time as he comes to preach to us. Word of
precious word of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, can we continue to clap our hands into the wonderful name of the Lord? Oh, can we stand and give the Lord an ovation here tonight? Jesus, we magnify you, Lord. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for your presence here tonight, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy, O Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, surely the Lord is in this place. Thank God we're not like Jacob. He said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. It wasn't until afterwards that he realized that the Lord was there. But I'm so glad that there are those here tonight that recognize the presence of the Lord. Because I heard you lifting up your voice. I saw you raising your hands. Amen. And I know that God is well pleased with this congregation here tonight. Amen. One more time, can you lift up your hands? Can you clap your hands? Can somebody just let the Lord know that you're glad that he's here tonight? Jesus, we lift you up, Lord. We praise your holy name. We magnify your name, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. If you're thankful that the Lord is here, and if you're glad that you're not here by yourself, why don't you turn to two or three people with a big smile and let them know how glad you are to see them in the house of the Lord tonight. If you remain standing with me for the reading of the word of the Lord, I want to hop right into the scriptures here tonight. So thankful for the opportunity to minister the word of the Lord to you. I appreciate your pastor and his wife. And we've enjoyed time of fellowship and getting together and catching back up and remembering some good times from Bible school. And we're looking forward to all that the Lord has in store the remainder of this revival. Can somebody say praise the Lord? Thank you for being here tonight on the Friday night, on a rainy night. But there are many things that you could have been doing, but to support this revival means a lot, not only to my family, but to the Lord. Because I believe that there are a lot of broken people here in Mount Vernon that need God. And they need a group of people that understand, amen, the importance of building momentum so that somebody can experience the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can somebody shout, thank you, Lord? I want to direct your attention to two passages of Scripture. I'm going to do something that I was taught not to do in Bible school, but we're not in Bible school anymore. So I want to focus your attention on 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 8, and then the book of Acts chapter 20, verse number 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 8, and then Acts chapter 20 and verse number 16. Just like Wednesday night, I don't want to take too much time, but as your pastor felt it in the Holy Ghost, as your bishop felt it, amen, that we are to build up to Pentecost Sunday and then build from Pentecost Sunday. And how many of you know that whenever these special series of services are over, that God is not over? So I believe that we're going to build beyond just next week, but I believe that God's got some great things in store for Apostolic Christian Church. If you believe that, can you shout hallelujah? 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 8. If you have it, can you say amen? If you can see on the screen, can you shout, I can see? 1 Corinthians 16, 8. The Apostle Paul said, I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. Can somebody say, until Pentecost? Another translation says, I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost. Acts chapter 20, verse number 16. The Bible tells us that Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus to avoid spending time in Asia Minor, for he was in a hurry to reach Jerusalem, if possible, by the day of Pentecost. He was determined. He was not going to stop by Ephesus. He was just going to pass on by. He was not going to spend time in Asia Minor. Oh, my Lord. I just heard a little bit of my East Coast accent coming out. I was saying sure, whatever, so much that it just followed me down to the Midwest. But he was determined not to spend time in Asia Minor because he hastened. He was in a hurry, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. Just for a few moments here tonight, I want to preach to you about getting back to Pentecost. Wednesday, I preached to you about before Pentecost was fully come. But if you allow me to here tonight, I want to preach to you about getting back to Pentecost. Can somebody say, getting back to Pentecost? Turn somebody and shake their hands again and tell them we've got to have Pentecost. You may be seated. Paul understood the history and significance of the day of Pentecost. Pentecost meant 50 days after. But Paul knew it meant more than just that. It was more than just a festive Jewish holiday that occurred 50 days after Passover, what we would call Easter. For Paul and those first generation Christians, Pentecost was the birth date of the church. It was on the day of Pentecost in an upper room in Jerusalem where the Lord poured out his spirit on 120 believers initially, and then upon 3,000 souls, giving birth to the New Testament church. Paul also knew that many of those first Christians, as well as the leadership of the early church, met at times in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost to celebrate and commemorate what God did on that day. They also settled any issues that had arose, and they planned for the future at Pentecost. He even mentioned his plans in his letter to the Romans, that he was going to help the poor saints in Jerusalem when he made his way to this meeting. So for Paul, going back to Jerusalem for Pentecost was special. It was a special day that has significance and played a significant role in the church's history. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 8, we read of Paul's desire to stop by and see the church in Corinth when he passed through. But he writes to them that he was going to remain in Ephesus until Pentecost. He intended to see them sometime in May, in the springtime. But he set sail to make his way
to Jerusalem. He said, I'm going to see you, but for now, I must remain in Ephesus. Paul has spent about 3 years in Ephesus and was coming to an end of his time there. He knew his time was short, but he decided to stay in Ephesus because he knew that God had given him an open door. In the next verse, in verse number 9 of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, the Apostle Paul explains the reason why he was staying. It was because a great door, he said, for effective work has opened to me, and there are many who oppose me. The Apostle Paul knew that he had some adversaries, but he also knew that God had given him an open door. Let me just stop and say that when God has given you an open door, it doesn't matter who opposes you. When God gives you an open door, it doesn't matter who is against you. It doesn't matter who will fight against you. When God gives you an open door, you can have, amen, an effective impact in the kingdom of God. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
I felt the Lord strongly impress upon me here today while I was making my way to pick up my kids something to eat. I felt that the Lord spoke to me that he had given me an open door that no man can shut. It had nothing to do with Mount Vernon. It had everything to do with our future. But I felt that the Lord gave me a sure word today while I was driving in the car that he had given me an open door that nobody can shut. I come to tell somebody that people can try to stand the way, that people can try to shut the doors, that people can try to keep you from walking through an open door. It is possible, amen, for somebody to hinder what God wants to do in your life. But when God gives you an open door, the Bible gives an understanding that nobody can shut it. When God gives you an open door, amen, it is for you to do an effective work. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Paul was able to do an effective work in Ephesus for 3 years, to where the Bible says all who dwelt in Asia Minor heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. However, it wasn't without a fight. It wasn't without opposition. It's in Ephesus where we read that Paul ran into 12 disciples of John the Baptist after asking them if they have received the Holy Spirit since they believed. The Bible tells us that he proclaimed to them the gospel. And then upon hearing the gospel, they were rebaptized in the name of the Lord Jesus and received the precious gift of the Holy Spirit, evidenced by speaking in tongues. But after that, after, amen, this great initial impact in Ephesus, when these 12 disciples experience, amen, the wonderful salvation of the Lord, Paul faced opposition. Ephesus was heavily influenced by witchcraft as well as idolatry. Those who were of Jewish faith had compromised. They had compromised worship of the one true God, and they even opposed the Apostle Paul. One was a coppersmith by the name of Alexander. He, amen, made his living by making these trinkets to these false, to this false idol, amen, instead of worshiping the one true God. But God made a way for Paul, even though there were those who opposed him. God made a way for the Apostle Paul to teach at a school for 2 years, turning it into a Bible school. And God countered those who opposed Paul through witchcraft by working special miracles, the Bible says, amen, even handkerchiefs and aprons that touched his body, amen. Paul was able, amen, to use those, amen, to touch others, and they were miraculously healed, amen. He would take handkerchiefs, and amen, and as he would pray over them, those who were even demon-possessed, the Bible says, and when those handkerchiefs touched them, amen, they were touched by God, and they were made free, amen. God did that. The last opposition, the last opposing force that the Apostle Paul had to encounter was idolatry and the spirit that was behind it. Matter of fact, Paul wrote to the Corinthians and talked about how he had to fight the beast of Ephesus. In other words, speaking of, amen, the principality, the power of Ephesus. Whenever he later writes to the church in Ephesus, he talks about spiritual warfare because it was there in Ephesus where Paul had to encounter, amen, these principalities and powers and spiritual darkness. Let me just stop and say this. Amen. When my wife and I first started evangelizing, There was not a whole lot of witchcraft, and there was not a whole lot of demonic possession in America. Matter of fact, I remember hearing Brother Billy Cole express how America does not have as much demonic possession as other countries do, other nations do, as some third world countries do. But things have changed in America. They have changed big time, and now there's more witchcraft. There's more demonic possession now. Amen. Used to be in America, especially in the Bible Belt and in the Midwest, amen, where there's more of an acceptance, or where people profess their faith more. There were less tattoos, but now, and I'm not, you know, don't misunderstand me. If you got a tattoo, amen, I'm not here preaching against your tattoo that you got when you were out in the world, when you were not living for God. Now, if you got a tattoo while you're living for God, then you need to talk to your pastor. But now things have shifted, amen, and I see, and I notice now that people are involved more with the occult than ever before. There are kids playing. I'm not here to preach against video games, and I'm not here to preach against what you watch, amen, but people are more open to the demonic and open to the underworld than ever before, amen. The problem is that the church has become lax, and the church has become, oh my God, I feel like preaching like an evangelist, and this is only Friday. I'm not supposed to preach like an evangelist, but I feel just to preach it for a second, amen, and just remind us that the church has become so lax because we're trying to operate like we did years ago when there was not as much demonic activity, but we cannot continue to do like we did years ago. If the, amen, early Pentecostal pioneers understood the power of prayer, if they understood that we've got to have the touch of God and we've got to have the miraculous, even so much this generation understand why. Because we're up against, amen, some principalities and powers like we have never witnessed before. Can somebody shout hallelujah? Somebody said, well, that doesn't happen here in Ohio. That doesn't happen here in Mount Vernon. It only happens in the big cities. It only happens down in Cincinnati. It only happens, amen, in Cleveland. It only happens, amen, in Akron. It only happens in Toledo. It only happens in Canton. But can I tell somebody here tonight, amen, as I've been traveling around this town, amen, as I've come in contact with people, I have been amazed, amen, hallelujah, at the hair that stood on the back of my neck, or the people that I found broken, amen, because of sin, broken because of drug addiction, amen, broken, amen, because the enemy has them bound. And I'm reminded that we've got to do more than just have church as usual. We've got to have the touch of Almighty God. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Praise God. There are people who will oppose. The Bible gives us an understanding that Paul was opposed not only, amen, by witchcraft, amen, not only, amen, by idolatry, but by the spirit behind it. Many made their money off of tourism and selling trinkets of the Ephesian goddess Diana, or who's also known as Artemis. The temple of Diana was one of the seven wonders of the world. Many tourists and worshipers of this idol would come to the seacoast town during this peak season in May. Many silversmiths and coppersmiths like Alexander and another by the name of Demetrius made most of their money during this time. The Bible tells us that because Paul was so effective in making disciples, I was glad to see that banner hanging up there, amen, knowing that this church believes in making disciples. The Apostle Paul was so effective at making disciples that Demetrius, amen, the silversmith, openly opposed him, creating a riot. The Bible tells us there was chaos and confusion and pandemonium in Ephesus. The people rushed into the temple of Diana. And when Alexander, amen, who opposed the Apostle Paul, whenever he tried to differentiate between the Jewish and Christian worshipers, the people shouted him down. They shouted to the top of their lungs for 2 hours straight, saying, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians. Great is Diana of the Ephesians." After the uproar, the Bible tells that Paul left Ephesus for Macedonia. His time was now up. But he had not left there without doing an effective work, because God had given him an open door. Paul waited in Ephesus until his time was up. But when his time was up, when it was time to go, when it was time for him to make his way to Jerusalem for Pentecost, he did. Can I just, amen, flip the coin for a second and just remind us here tonight that just like the Apostle Paul, we too, amen, have been waiting. The whole world was waiting, just like the Apostle Paul, for Pentecost to finally come. Up until that point, only Jewish people, amen, and proselytes to Judaism could be saved. Only if you had Jewish blood running through your veins, amen, only if you had received the seal of circumcision, could you, amen, experience the covenant blessings that were given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Only those who were Jewish, only proselytes to Judaism, could experience the covenant, amen, salvation. But when Jesus came, when Jesus went to Calvary, when Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the whole world, after he was buried and rose again on the third day, he opened up the door for Pentecost. He opened up the door for whosoever will, amen, to come and experience salvation. Ladies and gentlemen, can I remind you that even God waited until Pentecost to birth the church? It was at Pentecost where Joel's prophecy that God would pour out his spirit upon all flesh would be fulfilled. It was at Pentecost where the power of God would be unleashed. That's why Jesus told his disciples to wait. Amen. When he said in Luke chapter 24, verse number 49, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but wait, amen, or tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Again, he told them just before, amen, he departed back into heaven. He said, do not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of my Father, which you heard of me. A few verses later in Acts chapter 1 verse number 8, he said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both, amen, in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Amen. Can I remind us here tonight that Pentecost is where the power is at? I said Pentecost is where the power. Am I in a Pentecostal church here tonight? Is it all right to preach like this? I come to tell somebody in this house, let me just preach into the atmosphere for what God is going to do on Sunday and what he can do here tonight for anybody who's not yet experienced Pentecost, for anybody who's not yet experienced a wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit. The good news is you don't have to wait any longer. Amen. They had to wait. Hallelujah. They had to wait until Pentecost came. They had to wait 10 days. Amen. But when it came, hallelujah, God poured out his spirit. And since that time, we don't have to wait any longer. Amen. God can fill you with the Holy Ghost. I said God can fill you with his spirit. Does anybody believe that? Can you clap your hands and can somebody shout hallelujah? There is a time in Pentecost that we believe in tarrying around the altar. We believe that you had to wait until you could receive the Holy Ghost. There are some who believe that you had to wait years to receive the Holy Ghost. But, amen, I'm glad that that understanding, that we now have more of a biblical understanding that the only ones that had to wait, amen, were those on the day of Pentecost or up until the day of Pentecost. They had to wait 10 days. And then also the Samaritans, they had to wait for Peter and for John to arrive. But amen, besides them, nobody else has to wait. Amen. As far as for a long length of time, if you would just believe, you can receive. I'll never forget when I was in secular college before I went to Bible school. Amen. God gave us revival at Tennessee State University. And the Lord saved my roommate. I thought it was going to take 4 years for God to save my roommate. But the Lord, amen, filled him with the Holy Ghost the second month while we were in Bible school. That first, or while I was at Tennessee State, that first month, amen, of our freshman year there at Tennessee State, he was baptized in Jesus' name. But I had a dear and precious aunt who it took 3 years for her to receive the Holy Ghost. And she would tell my roommate that, you know, it took me 3 years, so it might take you a long time. And whenever we would leave from service, amen, I would go back to the dorm room and I would tell, amen, my buddy, I would tell my roommate, amen, it doesn't have to take you 3 years. Thank God, amen, for the word of God. I was able to show him in the word of God, amen, where it doesn't have to take that long, amen. The longest anybody ever had to wait in the Bible was 10 days, praise God. If you don't believe what I'm preaching, just read your Bible. Praise God, hallelujah. Now, it might have taken you long, but that was not because God was withholding it from you. Praise God. Now, I'm preaching too much like an evangelist. My days of evangelists are coming to an end. And so I'm trying to shift gears as much as I can. But as somebody said, once an evangelist, always an evangelist. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let me just get back and say this. I thank God that the Lord, amen, saved my roommate. That he did not have to wait a long time. Amen. I rebuke the lie of the enemy that says you got to wait a long time to receive the Holy Ghost. The wait is over. The Spirit of God is poured out. All you have to do is receive the Holy Ghost. Can somebody shout amen? Amen. I come to tell somebody here tonight as I come to a close, if you are here and you've not yet experienced the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost, if you've not yet received the precious gift of God's Holy Spirit, the wait is over. You can experience it tonight. I say you can receive the Holy Spirit tonight. Does anybody believe that? Can you shout hallelujah? You just have to get to Pentecost. You just got to get your heart and your mind focused on what God has for you to receive and what God wants you to receive. When it's time for you to receive what God has for you, you don't have to wait. You just got to get in position with God to receive it. When Paul eventually left from Macedonia and Greece, the scripture that we read in Acts chapter 20, verse number 16, tells us that he hastened to get back to Jerusalem for Pentecost. He didn't want to waste his time anywhere else that would keep him from Pentecost. Now, in 1 Corinthians, amen, 16, he told them, I've got to wait in Ephesus until Pentecost. But when, amen, Acts chapter 20, verse 1 came, the Bible tells us after that uproar, he eventually left. And about time we get to Acts, amen, 20, 16, the Apostle Paul had already gone to Macedonia. He had already gone, amen, to Corinth. He had already gone to Greece. And now he was leaving there and making his way to Jerusalem. He made his mind that even though he established the church in Ephesus, he was not going to waste any more time in Ephesus, not on this trip, because he had to make his way back to Pentecost. It was his third missionary journey. And he said, I don't have much time. Amen. God has a purpose for me at Jerusalem at Pentecost. And so he hastened. He was in a hurry to get back to Pentecost. Can I remind us here tonight that we've got to have the same kind of mentality? Woo. My God, I'm preaching like an evangelist. What in the world is going on? I'm sorry, amen. Sometimes it just shocks me, amen. Sometimes I get a little bit, somebody told me, Brother Hagin, amen. Sometimes you have to differentiate your sensitivity to the spirit and to the human spirit. And so sometimes, amen, when I get up, I begin to immediately, amen, tap into the spirit, or I might begin to tap into a human spirit. And sometimes I have to battle with the human spirit, and my words get all mumble jumble, amen. But I feel a free flow of the Holy Ghost here tonight. And I just want to say I appreciate this church for allowing that to happen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. I come to tell, man, can I preach like an evangelist just for, is it all right here tonight? If I preach like an evangelist just for a second, I come to tell somebody we got to have the same kind of mentality. We've got to have Pentecost. I said we've got to have Pentecost. When God restored this wonderful truth to believers in the last century, amen, when God restored the truth that they too could have and experience the power of Pentecost, they didn't settle for anything less. They were sick and tired of formalism. They were sick and tired of traditionalism. They were sick and tired of religion that didn't have any power. So they went back to the book of Acts to experience Holy Ghost power. And here we are today, ladies and gentlemen, back in the days, amen, hallelujah, I love Pentecost history. LJ, we sat, amen, in Brother Johnson's class, Pentecost 101, amen, and studied Pentecost history. I love it, amen. I thank God through our travels, I've been able to go to the places where the early Pentecostals experienced the power of God. And ladies and gentlemen, amen, I'm reminded by how many of them did not have nice padded pews and nice carpet and nice buildings like we have and nice lighting. They didn't have air conditioning. They were in Brush Arbor meetings. Some of you might remember those times of Brush Arbor meetings, amen. There used to be a time when Pentecostals were considered on the other side of the tracks. They had tomatoes thrown at them. They had rotten eggs thrown at them. They had snakes thrown into their meetings. They had dynamite planted. Some were brutally beaten. I heard Bishop James Kilgore talk about how, amen, he watched his father get beat up, an evangelist get beat up for preaching the gospel. But now things have changed. Now we have nice sanctuaries. Now we have padded pews. Now we have what all the other denominations had. Amen. But ladies and gentlemen, God forbid that we become settled. God forbid, amen, that we do not have Pentecost. God forbid, amen, that we have much more than our Pentecostal pioneers, but we do much less with it. God forbid, What needs to happen is we need to get back to Pentecost. We need to get back to an old time fashion move of God. We've got to get back to a Pentecostal worship. We've got to get back to Pentecostal presentation. We've got to get back to the power of Pentecost. We've got to have a demonstration because this generation, amen, they don't want religion. Amen. This generation doesn't want formalism. I come to tell you that this generation doesn't want to just go. They need more, amen, than just tradition. They need the power of God to set them free. You can just say amen, sit there and say, oh, I don't feel, amen, any compassion for the lost. But if you got any compassion in you, then you understand that the reason why you're here tonight is not just for you showing up and getting a good attendance record, but you are here, amen, to make way to the supernatural, so that when somebody walks in those doors on Sunday that needs a touch of God, they might look like they have it all together, but deep down they're broken. When somebody walks through those doors and they look messed up, they can walk into a Pentecostal church and experience the power of God that will change. Does anybody believe that? Can you stand to your feet if you're able? Can you put your hands together? Can you lift up your voice? And can somebody begin to magnify the name of the Lord? Come on, come on, let's be Pentecostal. Come on, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We've got to have it. You know, hey man, we used to be on the other side of the tracks. Remain standing with me. But now almost every Christian denomination allows speaking in tongues or believes in miracles. Matter of fact, the largest evangelical, amen, denomination in the world has said we've got to allow our missionaries to speak in tongues. Because Pentecostal charismatic movement is the fastest growing religion in the world. It's not Islam. It's us. And even in third world countries, people, they don't want to just go to some denomination. They want the power. And thank God our missionaries are reaching the world. Can somebody shout hallelujah? But if we're not careful, we can get away from what got us to this place. If we're not careful, we can get away from it. If we're not careful, we can get away from Pentecost and being Pentecostal. But God forbid, we've got to get back to Pentecost. We've got to get back to being Pentecostal. We've got to get back to having the Pentecostal power. When Pentecost Sunday gets here, why don't you say we act like Pentecostal? Let's have a Pentecostal service on Sunday. Let's have Pentecost. Does anybody agree with that? Can you clap your hands? Now, I'm not talking about acting ignorant. I'm not talking about hindering our guests from receiving what they need from God. I'll never forget. When I was in Bible school, hey man, worked at Sherwin-Williams my junior and senior year. I worked so I could have enough money to get married to the beautiful Sharon A. Hagen. And so, but I'll never forget my co-worker. He was basically either atheist or agnostic. And keep on playing. You're doing a good job, sister Harry. Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. I got to let the people know that I'm finished. I'm coming to a close. But, I'll never forget my co-worker. He had never gone to church except for when he sung in his Lutheran high school. They would go to churches all the time, but he never went to church on his own. And so, make a long story short, I had some Pentecostal music playing. Matter of fact, I had a well-known Pentecostal singer playing one time at work, and he did not like her music. I mean, she has sung for all kind of people, and he didn't like her music. But then I had a classmate of ours whose uncle is Brother Jake Mark Jordan. And never forget, Sister Julie Busey, whose father, if I'm not mistaken, used to pastor here one time, Brother Scotty Teets. And whenever he heard Julie, he said, oh, she can sing. And I said, you know what? They're going to be having a concert. And he said, I'm going to come. I'm going to bring my girlfriend. And so I'll never forget, hey, man, it was Gateway College of Evangelism. And they did an excellent job. And great presentation. The Spirit of God was moving. But there was a couple of friends of ours. One came out of my wife's church, and her father was general superintendent of one of the churches in the Caribbean, of the United Pentecostal Church in one of the Caribbean countries. And so we had never seen her respond this way, but man, when Gateway began to sing, the Spirit of God began to move, she went, oh! And she began to juke and jive, and she began to bump into my guest. And I thought, oh, man, that's okay. I can explain. And the next thing you know, there was another friend of ours. He came from Boston. And he was originally from the Caribbean. And he just responded according to how he felt. And next thing you know, he went, his hands, and my guest had a duck. And I was like, oh, boy, I don't know if I can explain this one. But thank God they enjoyed themselves because of what they felt. I'm not talking about acting ignorant, amen. I'm not talking about running off the guests, but what I do believe is that when the Spirit of God touches you, if it's just lifting up a hand, if it's like our dear brother did tonight, and you took off to run, and I want to run right behind you, but I knew I might fall over and have a heart attack, amen. But I don't believe that anybody should praise God by themselves. So when you took off to running, I took a couple steps, and I did a move, amen, because I believe, amen, that when the Spirit of God begins to move, we got to respond, because people need the touch of God. Does anybody believe that? Can you put your hands together? Can somebody shout hallelujah? So when Pentecost Sunday comes, when this Sunday comes, why don't you say we give people the genuine, that we give them the real deal. That's what they're looking for. Let's not give them an imitation. Let's not give them watered down Christianity. Let's give them the real deal so that people can be saved, so that people can be filled. Is that all right here today? I mean, I'm sorry. I don't believe that God just wants to save me. Hallelujah. That's why I'm going to have to stop evangelizing, because I realize, amen, that if we're not careful, we could become what people left their denominations to leave. We could become that. I do not believe that we can talk about the government if the church is failing. I'm going to tell you right now, you know who's failing? We are the ones that are failing. We got to have the real deal. Abraham Lincoln, there are many historians that believe that the reason why Abraham Lincoln did not go to church is because he could not find anybody like what his parents had. In Cambridge, Kentucky, before the early Pentecostal movement in the late 1800s, on one side, amen, Abraham Lincoln's mom began to twirl around. Amen, she had her eyes closed. On the other side, his dad, amen, they were not married yet. He began to do this. They had their eyes closed, and all of a sudden they connected, and they began to dance. And the historians say there was ecstatic speech. In other words, it was speaking in tongues. And some said the reason why Abraham Lincoln didn't go anywhere in D.C. is because he couldn't find anything like that. Amen. One president said, when I see a preacher preach, I want to see him fight like he's fighting flies. Amen. In other words, we got to have the touch of God. We got to have the demonstration of the Spirit and power of God. Does anybody believe that? Can you lift up your hands unto heaven? And can somebody ask the Lord to give us Pentecost? Come on, somebody ask the Lord to do it. The Lord has been doing it. Hallelujah. You didn't get here without it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We didn't get here without it. Hallelujah. We thank God for what he's done in the past. We thank God for what he's doing. And we ask, oh God, that you would continue to do it. Continue to do it, Lord. Hallelujah. I might not be able to jump as high as I used to. I might not be able to run like I used to. But I can still praise you, Lord. I can still lift up my voice. Hallelujah. Thank you for the Holy Ghost down in my soul, like the Bible says. I'm glad I can still speak in tongues and nobody look at me like I'm crazy. I'm glad I can respond to God and nobody look at me like I'm crazy. Thank the Lord for the Holy Ghost that changes people's lives. Oh, if you believe that tonight, can you shout hallelujah? Paul said, I got to get to Pentecost. I got to get to Pentecost. I come to tell somebody here tonight, you don't have to wait till Sunday. If you're here, you're not yet experienced Pentecost, you can experience it tonight. The good news is you don't have to buy a plane ticket to go to Jerusalem. But we can make this altar Jerusalem. We can make this front. Matter of fact, it's been designated for that purpose. For somebody to come and experience salvation. For somebody to come and be restored. For somebody to have their life changed. So I come to tell somebody here tonight, if you've not yet received the precious gift of the Holy Spirit, amen, you can experience Pentecost tonight. You don't have to wait until Sunday. It can happen tonight. It's not about counting up numbers, amen. It's about somebody having a life-changing experience. So if you are here tonight, I invite you to come and experience Pentecost. But if you are here and you have received the Holy Spirit, evidenced by speaking in tongues, then I invite you to come to this altar that symbolically represents Jerusalem, amen, to come to this altar and experience Pentecost anew and afresh. To experience Pentecost all over again. I wonder, will somebody step out of your seat? Will somebody make your way down to this altar and lift up your hands? If you need to, amen, sit on the front pew, you can come. But I wonder if somebody would just make a move. Hallelujah. Paul said, I got to get back to Pentecost. I got to get to Jerusalem for Pentecost. Come on. Come on, somebody. Amen. Step out of where you are. Make your way down. Come on, let's get renewed. Let's get refreshed. Let's get a fresh touch from God. Come on, if you need whatever you need for the Lord. There's no telling what can happen here tonight. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's it. Somebody, let the Holy Ghost touch you all over again. Come on, somebody, don't just speak in tongues out of memory. The Bible says with the new tongue, somebody get a fresh touch from God right now. Come on, let's have rivers of living water, not just a river. Come on, somebody, get in until you get rivers flowing. Hallelujah, that's it. That's it, hallelujah. Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. Oh, praise God, praise God. Oh, that's it tonight. Come on, the Bible says there's righteousness, there's peace, there's joy in the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody, pray until you pray through to joy. Somebody, pray until you pray through to peace. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we give you praise tonight. We give you glory and honor. Oh, yes, Jesus. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Oh, that's it, church. That's it, church. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, why don't you reach over to somebody? Let's pray for one another right now. Why don't you reach over to somebody beside you? Let's pray for one another. Is that all right? I think that's Pentecostal. I think that's Bible. That's it. That's it. Somebody reach over to somebody beside you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on. The person beside you is not going to bite you. They're not going to hurt you. Hallelujah. If you think they are, go to somebody else. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Jesus. Into the wonderful name of the Lord. Can somebody put your hands together? Hallelujah. Oh, can you lift up your voice with that hand clap? And can somebody just praise the wonderful name of the Lord? Hallelujah. 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 I'll leave you with this here tonight. I'm finished preaching. But just 2 weeks ago, we were in Rhode Island. Another Bible school friend that Pastor Sister Harry and I went to Bible school with. They're pastoring a church there. We're starting a beauty salon in a rough part of town in Providence, Rhode Island. But the church was started 15 years ago and is still going today. But there is a lady who was connected with the initial group. And for 15 years, she had not received the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, I do not believe that you should be in a Pentecostal church and not receive the Holy Ghost. But it happens. And so there are all kind of situations, circumstances, issues, whatever, that might keep somebody from receiving. Sometimes a church has got to have the faith. That's why I believe that worship is so important, because we cannot create anything. The musicians cannot create anything. Only God's the creator. But we can usher. We can serve as ushers. If you're an usher in this church, can you lift up your hands? If you serve on the, amen. Now you all are ushers. You understand when people come in, you hold the doors open for them. You allow them to walk in, walk out. That's what we can do. We can usher in the presence of God, and the Lord then allows us to be ushered into his presence. We cannot create anything, but if we do not worship, if we do not praise God, even though God is there. Faith, sometimes your worship symbolizes your faith. It shows your faith. And when you do not worship, now I do not believe in bashing anybody for not praising God. I'm not one of those kind of evangelists. We made it 17 years. And I'm still a no-name evangelist. Maybe I should have done that a long time ago, but I'm not that way. I don't believe in pumping and priming and forcing. Amen. It's got to be with a free will heart. Understand, I'm through preaching. I'm just giving a little instruction. Is that all right here tonight? Because God wants to give an outpouring of the Holy Ghost on Sunday. But worship is important because it ushers to the presence of the Lord, and it allows there to be an atmosphere conducive to people being saved. Conducive. And 2 weeks ago, Rhode Island, my friend who we went to Bible school with, he said there was a lady there by the name of Mary Lou received the Holy Ghost. She walked down there. She stood there for a few minutes, prayed, and the next thing you know, she lifted up her hands and boom, she was speaking in tongues. And that church began to rejoice. It began to get excited. I believe that we should get excited when somebody gets the Holy Ghost. Can somebody say amen? Afterwards, the pastor told me, he said, Brother Hagin. Well, he didn't say Brother Hagin. He said Ethan, because we went to Bible school together. But he said, Ethan, he said, that was a miracle. I want you to know that was a miracle. He said, I had not given up, but we had just about given up because it takes so long. We did it so much to try to do everything to help her to receive the Holy Ghost, and time went on, and she did not get it. But tonight was a miracle, not only for her, but it did something for our church. I come to tell somebody here tonight, amen, if God can do that 2 weeks ago on a Friday night, what can he do tonight? What can he do on Sunday? Now, we're not going to belabor here tonight. We're not going to keep you. But I do believe, amen, that if anybody needs the Holy Ghost, a church that's spiritually minded will understand, amen, praise God, that we've got to have enough faith. Because if you've got the Holy Ghost, you can affect somebody. You can have a negative impact or a positive impact. Amen. You could transmit faith. Hallelujah. You could transmit that faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Or you could transmit doubt. So, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we should transmit faith. Now, somebody who doesn't have the Holy Ghost, they can't hinder anything unless they just get ugly and disrupt. But they don't have the Holy Ghost. They can't affect anything in the spirit. They can only affect something in the physical. But I guarantee you, sir, that I apologize. Amen. But I come to tell somebody in this house that God wants to pour his spirit in this church like you've never seen before. I said, like you have never seen before. God wants to do it. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen. You did not pray and fast, amen, like you've been praying and fasting for it not to happen, mother. God's about to do it. Woo! Woo! If you believe it, come on to lift up your hands once again. And can somebody just allow the Spirit of God to flow through you right now? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Praise God. I'm excited for what the Lord's going to do. Before you leave, please take a See You Sunday card. Brother, hey, where are you, my friend? There you are. Could you and one other gentleman, Brother Mapes, would you join Brother Hay right out here? And if you'll just have the offering plate there, but have the See You Sunday cards there for everybody. If you have something you want to give in the offering tonight, Brother Hay and Brother Mapes are going to be right back there for you to give in the offering. But more than that, I would like you to take a See You Sunday card and just invite one person from now till Sunday. The greatest tragedy would be all the prayer and all the fasting that we have done and then not to bring anybody, or at least invite them. We can't bring them, but we can invite them, and God can draw them. not to bring or invite anybody to come and experience what we've been praying and fasting for. So before you leave, please take at least one of these CU Sunday cards. Brother Mapes has them. Brother Hay has them. Hand them out to at least one person, preferably somebody you know already and have a relationship and rapport with. If not, just a server or a clerk or a cashier or anybody. Invite them to come to church. And then if you can, somehow follow up with them. If you already have their number, just text or call them Sunday morning just to verify they're coming. And I think, in fact, it'd be good right now for us to pray for those we have invited. I know you've been inviting people. That CU Sunday card stack is getting shorter and shorter and shorter, and I thank God for that. But we're going to believe that what we have sown into, God is going to cause us to reap. So let's pray right now that the Lord would bring the people we have been inviting. He would draw them. Jesus, I thank you for Pentecost and everything you've done in our lives. I don't want to keep it to myself. I pray, help us to reach those around us. I ask you tonight, those we've invited, those we have reached out to, God, I ask you to draw them and bring them here on Sunday. Help us, Lord, to do what we can do. And then I pray you would do what we cannot, and you would draw them and bring them here. I ask you, God, for a harvest of souls. Help us, Lord, to make disciples. In the name of the Lord, bring Pentecost here to Mount Vernon in Jesus' name, and help us to continue to be a light for this city. I pray these things tonight and give you thanks for them in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Please, if you have offering to give, drop it off in the offering plates. More than that, take a CU Sunday card. And then tomorrow at 2 o'clock, our ladies are going to join in the fellowship hall for ladies' tea. So all of you ladies are invited for tea and a wonderful lunch tomorrow, 2 o'clock in the gymnasium. God bless you. Thank you for being here. God bless the Hagans. Thank you for ministering to us. And may I make a declaration? From henceforth and forevermore, at least until the end of this revival, Brother Hagin, you can preach like an evangelist. We need to hear the word of an evangelist. So you've got our blessing. Preach like an evangelist. Amen. God bless you. Yes. If before you leave, please take produce. We have lettuce, potatoes, apples, oranges, green beans, corn, all kinds of produce out on the food pantry concrete pad there. It probably will not keep just right there until Sunday, so please take that home and enjoy it. I think there are radishes and strawberries and lions and tigers and bears. So please stop by the pantry and take those.